This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan All.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
NPR posted something to their website about a writer, someone who had written for NPR's website and who, as it turned out, plagiarized. This note on the website says, "Below, you'll see the full text of all 10 stories, which include material taken from 17 sources without attribution. The words and phrases that were at issue have now been highlighted in bold, and links have been added to show where the material was originally published." Is this an unusual move by NPR, or is this something we've seen before?
It's a little bit unusual, but it's something I give immense credit to NPR for being this forward about this issue. Because they not only did they acknowledge the plagiarism, they informed their audience of it, and they did it in a way that made it really clear exactly what was going on. And so Brian Wise, who's the writer in question, he actually works for a classical station in New York, WQXR, but on the side he would write reviews of concerts and recordings that would end up on NPR Music's classical site. Mm-hmm. And what happened was he submitted an entry to get edited, and the editor noticed some phrases that seemed familiar. So I believe it was a female. She looked into it and found that this latest submission had some plagiarism in it. That triggered an internal investigation into NPR to go through everything Brian Wise has ever found. They found 10 stories of his, of a lot. It was a lot more than 10. It's not like everything he had plagiarized, but 10 different stories over the years that had things that were listed from other sources like the New York Times, for example. Sometimes it was just like a 4 or 5 word phrase, but it was so descriptive and interesting, that 4 or 5 word phrase to describe a conductor or a piece of music. And sometimes it was entire paragraphs. Mm-hmm. And just the lengths that NPR went through to show them, here's the story, here's what was plagiarized, and here's where it was plagiarized from. It is an immense level of transparency. And actually, it also has set the tone for everybody who writes for NPR in the future, that a 3 or 4 word phrase can get you in trouble. And it should be that way.
That's really interesting. I suppose it's probably easier than ever before to plagiarize, because so much information is at your fingertips, but it's also a lot easier than ever before to get caught plagiarizing, because someone can track you down.
Yeah, as an educator, I've been through a couple circumstances during my career where I thought, you know, this doesn't seem like this person's writing style. And after a while, you can get to know students' writing styles, or even a reporter's writing style. All I have to do is take that passage and plug it into Google, and it'll pop up the website immediately. It's really easy for people to copy and paste things and try to pass it off as their own. The issue is, it's also as easy, or if not easier, for someone else to track down exactly where you've got it. And I've been able to do that several times during my career.
Yeah, these were not news stories, as Jonathan mentioned, but certainly we've seen over the years, people who were reporters for organizations as prestigious as the New York Times being caught plagiarizing.
Yeah, just last year they had an instance where one of their reporters may have taken something off of a Wikipedia page. So they went back and tracked her stories as well. And they were accountable just like NPR. So they made sure people were aware of what they had discovered. So I see that becoming more of I think more news stations and newspapers are becoming more transparent.
And as the technology improves, it wouldn't surprise me at all if eventually everything – part of an editor's job will be to run it through some piece of software that, you know, just scan for plagiarism, and they'll – you know, and it'll automatically be able to happen, and it will happen with every single story. Because clearly one of the questions, and the thing that NPR hasn't talked about yet, is how did he get away with it for so long before they caught it? You know, it wasn't until an editor saw something that reminded them of something that they saw somewhere else that it triggered this. So, again, I'm wondering if the technology is going to get to a point where editors are just going to be equipped with a single button where they can push it and it'll throw it out to the web and see, you know, are these words and phrases showing up in other places?
Well, educators already have the ability to do that. So,
well, they do.
Yeah, it's Turnitin. I think there's a website that we can use, or it may even be software, but where we can take a paper and submit it, and it'll tell us, you know, if there's any passages there that may have been plagiarized and where they came from. So that there's already the ability to do that in education. It would be a matter of time if we see other places doing that.
Do you worry as an educator in dealing with young reporters about them staging interviews, having a friend maybe that they interview and they kind of tell the person what to say so they can do a better story?
Well, I'll tell you that I try to prevent that by being very clear to my student reporters that they're not allowed to cover stories that they're associated with in any way. They're also not allowed to interview fellow broadcast students. So they have to leave our floor. They need to go out and talk to other people. And I have made that a rule for any of my reporters. And I've had people approach even my anchors and say, hey, can we interview you for a story? And on the other side, I don't let my reporters be interviewed either. So I think there's a conflict of interest there. Even though they may have information about something, I do not want them, you know, representing a story to media if they're part of the media.
When I taught at Bradley University, a student turned in a story for an assignment, and it quoted then-Congressman Ray LaHood. And I read the quote from the congressman. I said, this does not sound like something Ray would say. Mm-hmm. So I'd been covering him long enough in Peoria. I called him and I said, did this student contact you? No, I never heard of that person. So I gave him a zero on the paper. The student came up to me and said, what's going on? I said, well, here are your options. You can take the zero on this paper, or you can protest it, and we can go through academic dishonesty and go through those procedures. You can consider this a gift warning, mm-hmm. that you only get a zero on the paper. And maybe I should have been harsher. But, you know, yes, I guess you do always – you're always concerned about that. And, you know, it's not just in journalism. You know, when I took science classes, we used to do sometimes what people would call dry lab, where you don't actually do the lab. You make up the results to get to the conclusions that you know you're supposed to get to for the lab. So I think that you know, it's you know, just like in the professional world, regardless of the subject we teach, we have to teach that ethics and honesty. And it doesn't matter if you're teaching journalism or biology or kinesiology. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. There's ethics and honesty in every discipline, and we have to do that.
Yeah, and the punishment has to be there or they won't understand exactly what they've done and why it's a big deal.
And actually, examples like this that, you know, that happened at NPR or that Jasmine talked about at the New York Times, those are incredible teaching tools for us to say, look at this professional who is now out of a job and probably will never get hired again because they hit copy and paste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.